And the author talks about in every church, you know, you're going to find a diversity, a mixture of a variety of unique people, races and cultures and personalities, background, genders, gender, socioeconomic status and levels of spiritual maturity and growth and progress. These diversities, when properly implemented in an environment of and culture of honor, can provide a positive catalyst for kingdom advancement. So as a child of God, your life assignment should be to bring glory to God and to advance the kingdom of God. So we were created for God and by God. Now we're going to look at these principles of these breakthrough believers. Principle number one, discipling and mentoring believers at different levels of maturity and giftings. And then secondly, cultivating a worshipful heart and intense passion for his presence. So principle number one, discipleship and mentoring believers at different levels and gifting. So he starts off by stating that, you know, when believers are born again and added to the kingdom of God, we move them into a process of discipleship immediately. You know, although, you know, in many places, people just join church. And once they join church, you know, they're not disciple. So to disciple someone, we need to mold them through changing their thinking patterns so that they will devote themselves to a new pattern of behavior and conduct, expressing a desired lifestyle. Now, you know, when Jesus came forth preaching the kingdom of God, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in using that word repent, really was just, he was telling them, he said, you got to change the way you've been thinking. You got to change your whole thinking paradigm, the whole, you know, because there was religious leaders of that time. And so, you know, they were saying certain things that was religious. But Jesus said, when he came on the scene, he said, you got to change your mind. You got to change your mindset. You got to change the way you think. So there'll be complete discipleship. It can't be complete discipleship without changing their thinking patterns and changing their lifestyle and conduct. So many people who are converted, they seldom make it to discipleship, seldom make it there. And so, you know, they are in, you know, they come into church and, you know, they're in a new environment, but the thing about it, they still have the same old lifestyle. And we can see that, you know, a lot of times, Pastor Blackwell, we can see a lot of times in our churches, you know, where people come and become members, but they're not really after being disciple. And many times it just, you know, sometimes it's kind of, I believe that, you know, people need to be challenged. They need to be challenged to live for Christ and to become all that Christ wants them to be. And a lot of times, you know, people, you know, they really don't want to go that far. So, you know, it's like, you know, they're like the fish that was in the pond, you know, and now he's in the aquarium. You know, it took him out of one environment, put him in another environment, but he's still a fish. You know what I'm saying? There's no change. So they're carnal Christians. They're saved, but their minds have not been renewed with the word of God. So because they're thinking, patterns have not changed. Their lifestyle and conduct haven't changed. And they're doing the same thing that they did before they got saved. So discipleship bring about a change in their thinking patterns, as well as teach believers to serve, to observe and devote themselves to sound doctrine. And I think that that's one of the things that in this school that Apostle is trying to accomplish, trying to really raise up people who really understand that God has called us to do a work in the earth. And as finishing generation, we have to come to understand that anybody can start, but everybody can't finish. You with me? And so now, in order to get to, once you get in this place where God is trying to take you through to, There's going to have to be training. There's going to have to be development. And a lot of times people jump off the boat before they get trained. They get a little something. You know what I'm saying? Like I've seen people who follow the apostle, you know, they come, you know, like a cup of water, you know, he pouring it in them. And then all of a sudden they get a little this much in the glass and then they take off like they got something. Yes, they got a little something, but they ain't got enough to carry them. Yes, one little swallow, that's gone. You with me? And so a lot of times people don't really want to be discipled. They don't really want to be mentored. So we must provide clear, sound doctrine so that their thinking patterns are changed and lifestyles challenged to honor God. So now after we've trained them to live out this dimension of discipleship, we need to take them to the next level. We train them to know, to say, and to do that which God has given us. Y'all with me? All right. In Matthew 28, 19 and 30 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Now, there was times where the Apostle Paul, he just straight up, he told them, he said, you know, that y'all need to follow, you know, my manner of life. Now, why, how could the Apostle Paul have the audacity to tell people to follow his, and you know, this is the mindset of people who, religious folks say, well, I thought we were supposed to be following Christ. Well, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So because he's come to a place of maturity where, he understands sound doctrine, so he's trying to impart it into. So what apostle is trying to teach us, he's trying to teach us the same operation that that God has given him to operate in. He's trying to teach us to follow him in that. Yes, sir. You with me? And if I know nobody in here was crazy enough to miss last week. Oh, because if you missed last week, you miss your life. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, many times people can see this level of anointing and this level of maturity that apostles have, and they want it, but they're not willing to pay the price for it. They're not willing to pay the price. Some folk want to be an overnight wonder. Let me tell you something, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're setting yourself up for a life of disappointment when you try to be an overnight wonder. And in the kingdom of God, there are no shortcuts. So you can't take off. You know, most people like to travel the road of least resistance. You know, soon things get a little rougher, whatever and stuff. You know, they find another. Well, they fabricate new instructions from God. Well, you know, the Lord told me that it's time for my seat to be up. No, you're not trained yet. How are you going to leave now? You see, so many people start off, but they never finish. They never finish. And so they always wind up being a coulda, woulda, shoulda. You don't want to be that. Praise the Lord. Disciples are to observe all that God has commanded the apostles to do. They are to reproduce what the apostles are doing. Man, see, the church left this. The church left it. The church got off into so much other stuff, you know, raffling tickets and all kind of stuff they were doing, all kind of, you know, fashion shows and all kind of stuff that the church got into. And the main purpose God had placed these gifts in the body of Christ so that they could train the people of God. You with me? So many times the people weren't trained because the people didn't recognize the gift that God had placed in their life. Hallelujah. All right. And one thing about I'm finna help you with something. If you gave somebody a gift and they just act like, you know, just throw it on over in the corner and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Guess what? You would not be motivated to give again.
Right.
So God is really not motivated to give to you if you are not appreciative of the gift that he's given you already.
Right.
And so some people, you know, just treat, you know, apostle, like, you know, he just throw over in the corner. God said, okay, all right, okay, all right. And then they over here praying, Lord, I want you to use me. You, God say, I gave you somebody who's going to train you.
Yeah, right.
But you didn't think that they were valuable enough, so, you know, you went on your way. And most people have too much pride, too much ego to come back and say, I missed it when they leave.
Right.
Hallelujah. Too much pride, too much ego. All right. Thus, discipleship is not only to regulate a person's behavior according to what we are teaching him, but also to train someone who will be able to reproduce us in all that God is doing, that God is calling us to do. See, everybody, this is what God told Adam in the beginning. He told Adam, I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to multiply. See, watch this. Our job is, we're supposed to leave a deposit in the earth. In other words, what God has done in us, what we have seen, what we are seeing God do in apostle, we're supposed to really be reproducing that in somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And this is a year of massive production. And so what being poured into us, we ought to be pouring into everybody we talk to. Praise God. Hallelujah. The disciples must be apostolic in nature, thinking paradigm, and lifestyle. What?
Yes,
hallelujah. See, we got to get away from this little old, mamby-pamby church where, you know, we think that the church is weak. No, the Bible talks about, amen, how the kingdom of God came with power.
Yes,
demonstration. You with me?
Yes,
and so, apostle is teaching us how to walk in our authority as believers. Glory to God. You know, we're not going to sit around, you know, just see things going on. No, God has given us authority. God has given us dominion over certain regions. And so we have the authority to speak and change things.
Hallelujah.
And we're not just going to just be passive and, you know, you understand what I'm saying? But we're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. All right. So discipleship is not only giving them a set of doctrine to adhere to, but discipleship means to reproduce after our kind. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory to God. If you're not reproducing after your own kind, see, that's why you got to be careful. See, because that's a sphere of influence that all of us have. And so the people that's in your circle, what's on you ought to be being deposited on them. Because God is expecting you. See, you have a responsibility not only to receive, but also to give. So I have to be careful of those people that's in the circle. See, watch this. I don't let anybody come in my circle talking crazy talk. You with me? I don't let anybody say anything that opposes what I believe. No, I'm not going to sit around, you know, oh, girl, you know, you just crazy. No. You're going to get around me with that foolishness. You with me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people, you know, want to make fun of who you follow, you know. Oh, y'all going out to the money. Hold up. Don't hold up. Don't play with me like that. Hallelujah. You know, no, that, I was just kidding. No, don't kid with me like that. Because you're trying to say something on the slick. And I'm from the street and I don't just have spiritual discernment. I got street discernment.
Hallelujah.
I don't care who it is. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to reproduce as our kind so that there'll be more of those who will be observing all that God has taught the arrowhead leader, the apostle, the apostle blueprint. So it's going to produce pattern sons and daughters. Now, this mentoring, on the other hand, has to do with imparting skills and styles so that the believers are able to do what they're supposed to do. We are coaching them so that they become peak performers. So there's two styles of mentoring, active mentoring and passive mentoring. Now, active mentoring is designed by both parties to outwork these things over a period of time. The mentor will provide constant help until the skill is transferred and the believer is functioning efficiently. You know, anytime, you know, there's people who've asked me, say, you know, how do I follow Apostle stronger? I say, well, you first of all, you got to be somebody that's teachable. Right. And all you got to do is you have to, I see, once a person come to a place where I can't be dealing with nobody who really not serious with God. You know, they want to play games and stuff. And, you know, I've had people who want to get close to Apostle, but they won't come through the back door. Yeah, right. Well, I'm not a back door for you. You know what I'm saying? Let me show you. Pastors told me, say, look, the Lord told me to follow you. He's starting a church. The Lord told me that you spoke to my spiritual father. And I said, well, this is what I told him. I said, well, my apostle hadn't released me to be a spiritual father to pastor out here yet. He said, well, I that's what the Lord told me. I said, well, the Lord hadn't told it to my apostle. Now, see, watch this. Some folk would have, you know, oh, you want me to? Now, let me tell you something. I got email. I got people over in Africa, all kinds of places. The Lord said, you're supposed to be my spiritual father. No, I'm not. I said, I tell you what. Put in this application to LTMA, and I said, Apostle is my spiritual father, and he can father you too. Yeah. But the Lord told me you. No, but the Lord didn't tell me you. You understand what I'm saying? So some people can get a big head and think, you know, oh, somebody calling me to be. No. No, I'm being trained. Yes, sir. Y'all with me? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. And I got enough. With the congregation I lead. Yes, than to be talking about, you know, man, talking about he wanted me to come to Johannesburg. You know, man, I'm not coming to Johannesburg. I'm not coming. Apostle didn't send me. See? Come on, some of y'all that's in this class, that's old, the internet that you're watching, I mean, this kind of sound like you. Well, what if the Lord told you? God is not going to tell you something apart from the person who you're following. God's not going to tell you nothing apart from them. You can hang that up. Hallelujah. So, you know, I just tell him, I say, well, no. And so one man told me, he said, well, I've joined a partnership with Apostle. So can you? I said, no. I said, join LTMA and become a son of Apostle. Won't come through the back door. You want what's on him, but you think you're going to get it another way. No. I don't be a way for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the mentoring program requires yieldingness, submission to authority, gifts and callings of the mentor on the behalf of the believer so that these skills can be crafted into his life to produce the effective results. Had to follow real close and so you can be connected. Then there's the passive mentoring. You know, and this can either, you know, with spiritual fathering also. Because you remember the sons of the prophets, they followed Elijah from afar off. That's passive. They didn't get close. You know, they wanted what was on him, but they didn't want to make the sacrifice that Elijah made. So they wind up when Elijah came back across that water, smoked that water with that mantle, and that thing opened up, and they all bowed down. They said, "Oh, yeah, you could have had it too, but you were too busy following from afar off instead of getting close like you're supposed to be." Hallelujah. So this passive, in passive mentoring, the believer learns from our ways and try to do what we're doing to the best of his current ability. It requires a lot of self-initiative and a keen observation of lifestyle on the part of the disciple. Now, when I was learning to do cement finishing work, you know, my dad was a cement finisher, and I had a brother, my oldest brother. He was grouchy. And he was grouchy. It's hard to get along with. And so I wouldn't work for him. But he was the best that I ever saw at finishing concrete. So, you know, I go out there on the job with my dad. I couldn't work for him, but I go out there and I watch him. Well, for all. And so I watched how different things that he did. Just like most cement finishers don't know what to do when the concrete get hard and they can't bull float it. My brother take a man and put him on that bull float. He push that bull float out there and pull it back, and that concrete laid down. I said, oh, okay, all right. And then they usually had to make a form for a curve, a radius for a curve. And so my brother would take a cinder block, and he shaped that thing with a cinder block, pour the concrete real stiff and shape it with a cinder block, and it looked perfect, like a form had been up there. I said, oh, yeah. And so once I started working for myself, I adapted those things that he was doing. And so he had got older. He said, Jeff, you know, I thought I was the best at doing this. He said, but you have exceeded me. I said, that's because I watch you from afar. Oh. I saw the thing that you were doing. I watched the tricks of the trade that you had. You understand? So, but this passive way, I don't think you get it like you ought to get it. I know you don't. So both discipleship and mentoring are basic training concepts that must become operational within the apostolic base. Both are important because it covers truth and thinking paradigms, while mentoring covers skills, styles, and presentation and performance. When believers are established in these paradigms of discipleship, mentoring, we will need to select those who are willing to go higher into the next level of spiritual fathering. All right, now, spiritual fathering is an apostolic concept for reproducing the next generation of sons and daughters to whom we can transfer our legacy and ministry. Now, as an example, you know, God had rejected Eliezer of Damascus, you know, from inheriting what Abraham had. So God, and then God rejected Ishmael from receiving what Abraham's, you know, his heir, because he was born of a slave woman, right? So I believe that, Hagar didn't really have a relationship with Abraham. They just used her, Hagar to try to perform the will of God, which you don't have to give God no help. God already knew what he was going to do. But since, you know, they tried to help him and that kind of thing and stuff, but she didn't really have a relationship. So how could she really train that boy to really respect Abraham and to follow him the way he was supposed to? I think like this, that with Hagar, with her bringing up Ishmael, I believe that, you know how the Bible says, a little leaven it, leaven the whole lump? So I believe like this, that she could have put a little poison in him, and he would have been disrespectful to Abraham. He wouldn't have honored him and that sort of thing and stuff. But it's just like putting some yeast in dough. Once you get it in there, you can't get it out. And so it's just a matter of time. See, at first you won't even notice it's in there. But after a while, you're going to know, because that dough going to start rising. You with me? So I believe like this. I believe just like, let's just say you have somebody who may have been with an apostle, then they left. See, I don't have no communication with people who do that. Right. Now, as far as loving folk, you know, nobody gonna tell me, say, well, you know, you're not walking in love. Yes, I am. Because I'm going to be real cordial when I see you. But that's as far as it's going to go. You with me? Because all you got to do is just start saying something, and it's just like the yeast in the dough. It's just a matter of time before it starts rising. Before I start feeling like the person over there feel. Hallelujah. Once it get in you, see, once you allow people to communicate stuff to you, you can say, well, they said this or they said that, and I defended the apostle. I told him, I said, no, but you heard it. And because you heard it, it's going to affect you. Right. Some people think that, you know, well, it's not going to affect me, you know, I love Apostle. No, it's going to affect you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Man, look, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, boy, Apostle tore the hide off me. Glory to God. Yes, indeed. I mean, you know. I had done something, and man, he called me, and he wore me out. Hallelujah. But guess what it did? It caused me to grow. See, you got to always know that the person who you're following, you have to be able to trust them. You have to be able to trust them to know that they love you first. And why, think about, for what reason would they do something to hurt you? You got somebody that got a track record. They did 99 good things, and then they rebuke you one time. Then all of a sudden, you forgot about the track record. Right. You with me? And a lot of times, people, they can't stand no rebuke. Rebuke is to help you. Rebuke is to grow you up. Rebuke is to refine you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know some people get there and feel hurt. Oh, I don't think he was right. I don't think. Please, shut up and grow up. See, that's why, listen to me. That's why you can't afford to be talking to people outside or people who've left. Because, see, let me tell you something. If you feel like, well, I'm gonna always do the right thing so that I never be rebuked. It's because if you feel like that, it's because once you're rebuked, chances are you're going another direction. Because I don't care. See, when you're growing, I don't care. I don't care how you try not to make no mistakes and stuff. You're going to make some mistakes because you're human. You understand what I'm saying? But guess what? Apostle gets you right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. There are many who have grown up in leadership in the early stages of pioneering work, and they have gone through thick and thin with us. But in choosing to transfer legacy, we must go beyond the obligation factor to long-standing members who have been faithful pillars in the past. Then that's the third category of people in Abraham's house. And the Bible records them as being born in his house in Genesis 14 and 14. They were trained men born in his house who were able to fight wars for him. Hallelujah. And that's another thing. You know, I used to, when I first started following the apostle, you know, somebody say something, you know, I'm ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm ready to finish. So the Lord told me one day, Lord said, don't do that. The Lord said, because you got to argue with them, you got to hear what they say. And to hear what they say, it's going to cause seeds to be planted in your mind and in your heart. And you know what all the seed need is the right condition. All it needs is a little sunlight, a little water. And before you know it, it's coming up. So that's why you have to, I'm telling you, I've told people this. You know, they say, well, you know, God expects us to walk in love. Yes, he do, but he ain't expect me to go. Our relationship can't be the same. That's what I'm talking about. Right. You know, we were going out to the coffee shop, you know, every morning drank coffee. We can't drink coffee no more. Right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to get a pot. I'm going to brew at the house. No, we're not going to do it on that basis no more. We're not going to be talking on the telephone regular no more. We're not going to do that. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You know, and like I say, people try to, I like to see God. There's some experiences and stuff that I've had, and God had taught me through the experiences. This guy, he had, me and this guy grew up in the park area together. And he was with Apostle. Matter of fact, he was the reason I came to the school of ministry, because he told me about it years ago. He was in the first year class. I was in the second year class. And so we grew up in the park together and stuff. So he wound up leaving Apostle. And so he said, look, man, call me up. He said, I got something at my church, man. I got this big, you know, big name preacher was there and stuff. He said, man, I want you to come over and fellowship with us, you know. So I went, you know, because we had been, you know, been knowing each other for a long time. So I get there. Okay, the man, he's up, you know, he big name. I ain't gonna call his name. And so, you know, after he said, we got a little luncheon over in the fellowship hall. Could you come and sit down and eat with us? Eat at the table with me and, the, you know, the guest speaker. So I said, okay, I ain't think no harm in it. We sat there for a few minutes. He introduced me to the man. Then he said, this man will be good for our organization. Say he's a, I said, good for organization? I followed Dr. Thompson. Hold on, what are you saying? What are you doing? Inducting me into something? And so he said, the man, you know, talking to me, telling me all about what they were doing and stuff. They were doing here and doing there and all this kind of stuff. And it's really not registering, because I'm wondering why he's talking to me. Why this conversation is even going on? He went to talking about, you know, all these pastors and stuff, you know, who are under him and all kind of stuff. Oh, and so I left. My wife and I, we left. And the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, he said, you can't have the same kind of relationship that you've had in the past with him. Although he didn't say nothing about Dr. Thompson, but the whole thing was, I'm in an organization that's better than he is now. And you need to be a part of this. Hallelujah. Well, I got a phone call. He was calling, you know, trying to find out, you know, where I was. And can I tell y'all the truth? I didn't answer. I didn't answer. I'm telling you the truth. I didn't answer. So, after the call a while, my wife say, "Baby, just straight up, just tell him. You know, you ain't. You know, you, who we following, and we're not going no other direction." And so I answered the telephone, and he said, "I've been trying to get in touch with you." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But I'm not going in the way that you're trying to take me. The Lord told me that I'm supposed to stay with Dr. Thompson." He said, "Well, okay, all right, okay. I mean, you know." I said, "Okay, then I'll talk to you later. See, we can't be having these conversations no more either." And so the Lord taught me through that experience, even though a person, you may have been knowing them for a long time, they can cause abortion. They can cause an abortion as it relates to your destiny. Here it is, you were bound for triplets, and you lost all three of them because you allowed somebody to say something negative about the person that God told you to follow. You can't let it happen to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the apostolic concept of sonship is impossible to implement without the spirit of wisdom of the arrowhead leader. The arrowhead leader or the apostle must first turn his heart towards his sons, our sons to be, and when our hearts are opened by the Father's love for these men, the way we minister to them will change. So churches have to move from the membership mentality to sonship mentality. So he said, we're not promoting the idea that a pastor becomes a spiritual father immediately. Some of them not spiritual fathers because they ain't never been fathered. Some of them never been sons. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen some who, you know, I don't know if I told this class, you know, I the Lord just kept me off on this story, you know what I'm saying? And so I don't know if I told y'all about this, but I was on a plane traveling and stuff with Apostle. I was on the plane. And so they had this gentleman who he was sitting back over behind me. So a lady came over with a little girl. So they let him sit. They told him to go sit over there where I was. And so he came up. He said, you're a pastor, aren't you? Trying to act spiritual. He see this ring, you understand? And so I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. And so he told me, he said, you're traveling minister? I said, no. I said, yes, I am, but I travel following, you know, my apostle. And so he said, so I told him all the places we'd gone and stuff. And so he said, you go all the places, you're not preaching? He said, you going all the places, following somebody? I said, yep, following somebody, yep, mm-hmm, yeah. And then he said, well, I go all over the United States preaching. And he went to talking about, you know, the engagement they have and all this. He had a church, he was a pastor. Then he hauls off and says this. He said, man, you flying, you know, following somebody and stuff. I'm flying ministering. And he said, man, if you just knew the money that I was getting from honorariums. And so he went on to say, he said, man, look, last year I got $150,000 honorarium. I said, okay. And so he kept on. So I wasn't gonna say nothing. I wasn't gonna say anything, you understand? I wasn't gonna say nothing. But he kept on. He said, man, you mean to tell me you flying, you doing all this flying? You following somebody else preaching? I said, yep, sure am. Mm-hmm. And so I said, look, man, I'm not trying to put down, you know, your engagement that you have. You know, that's fine. I said, but last year, I got three times more than that. He said, you did what? I said, yeah, I got three times more than that. I said, I didn't even preach nowhere. So I said, because what's on the apostle is on my life. I said, so what's happening with you? You going after money. Money coming to us. He said, hold on, man. You got to be joking. You got to be kidding. I said, man, I would not sit up here and lie to you. I'm not, you know, I wasn't trying to, you know, have a big fish story. You know, you done told about you caught a fish this big, then I caught one this big. No, I said, this is the absolute truth. He said, what's his name again? He said, can you get into my church? I said, nope, I can't. He said, you can't. He said, you're a son, you can't get him to come. I said, nope. I said, we don't roll like that. I said, but you can call a church, ask for Leroy Jr., and you can talk to him, and they'll pray about it. But you may not never get up, you know, you may not never get up. He said, man, oh, man. He said, man, you ought to be able to put in the work. I said, nope, I can't do it. I said, nope, because we don't roll with no favorites and stuff like that. You're gonna get me to do a favor for you. No, I can't do no favor. He said, man, he said, how much money again, you say? But no, you was talking about you trying to belittle following. That's what he was trying to do. And so God just had to show him that following is proper. God said, yeah. I said, yeah, mm-hmm, yep. And that's been, oh, Jesus, about 5 years ago. Well, if I see him nine, tell him. All right, y'all, that's it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.